And hope. And welcome to New Life Church. My name is Janet and I'll be your host this morning. Everyone is welcome here, but particularly if you're a first-time visitor or maybe you've only been here a couple of times and you'd like to learn more about this church. So we ask you to fill out a Connect card. And even if you've been here many, many times, have a look at those Connect cards. There may be some question that's been in your mind and you think, oh, I keep forgetting to ask that. You can write it on the card and hand that in too. So they're very useful. But if you are new, it's special because afterwards you can go to the info desk with your Connect card, and you will get a tote bag with a tumbler and a bag of fair trade Honduran coffee. If you're online this morning, well, I guess you can come down to the church sometime and get your bag if you're on for the first time. And otherwise, just drop a comment sharing where you are and who you're watching the service with. Now, that coffee is not just available to newcomers. It's on sale today. So you can pick some up, and it supports people in Honduras who really, it's the only income they have, and it's fair trade and organically grown and what else? Delicious, I think, is the other word that goes with it. So you can go and buy some. Okay, kids, do you want to come down to the front if you're age 3 to 5 or in grades 1 to 5? And your leaders can come down with you. Let's see how quickly you can get out of those seats and down to the front. Now, don't race so that you fall on your face, but it's great to see all these kids. There's still lots coming down. Okay, we would like to pray for you as you go down to your little lights and to kids' church. And we ask everybody, they would extend a hand of blessing to these wonderful kids. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We know that in your word, you gather children around you and you bless them. We've gathered these children around and we want you to bless them too. We pray that you'll be with them as they go down to their little lights and kids' church. We pray that you'll give them attentive ears to all that you want them to hear today from those who are leading them and teaching them. We pray for the leaders and the teachers that you will help them to meet the children where they're at and to show your love and compassion to each one of them. Lord, bless their time together. We ask in your name. Amen. Okay, so now the little lights can go that way. Oops, no, little lights go that way. I'm getting it wrong. Little lights go that way. Kids' church go that way. Yeah. Well, you can see that we've had a food drive. And you might be thinking, oh, it doesn't look very good. We usually get more than that. Well, I think part of it is that a lot of people put their stuff immediately in the big watermelon container out in the foyer. So there's lots more food. And thank you all for bringing that. We're always collecting donations for Archway. So it's not just when we have the drive. There are 2 wooden boxes round by near where the mailboxes are. You can put your food any week in that. So that was one thing you could get involved in. Here's another thing. Our building and grounds team is looking for volunteers to help with some landscaping, mostly mulching and moving rocks around the church. I hope they mean the church grounds, because it would be a bit of a mess if they did it around the church. Anyway, around the church grounds on Saturday, May 13th at 9 a.m. If you're available to serve, please let Jim Parasini know. And Jim is sitting down there. I can't see him, but probably you can. He's waving to you now. The lights here just blind you to almost everyone. Or you can contact the office and they will get back to you. So if you can help with that, that would be great. That's May 13th at 9 a.m. Okay, now this reminds me of when I was working years ago. I want everyone who is in high school to pay attention, and also college students. New Life has once again been granted funding for two summer internship positions from Canada Summer Jobs. And with this funding, we are excited to continue with the summer programming for youth and children. So we're taking applications from high school or college students for a youth ministry intern and a children's ministry intern. The positions for 8 weeks at 35 hours per week between June and September. So if you want more information or you want to apply, you can go to newlifecrc.ca/employment. Okay, and not only high school kids and college kids, but if you're the parent of somebody who went down to help with those kids, make sure you tell them too, because they're probably the sort that we need. Okay, so we're getting through this. So today is a Sunday where we really remember our missionaries in a special way and our mission partners, and our offering will be going to that. So we support 10 missionaries and mission partners across the globe. One missionary we support is Eve Pohl, who founded the organization Hope for Cora. And they recently celebrated the completion of the Abuni Basilios School water well. If I didn't pronounce that right, Eve will help me out, I'm sure. But I'd like to invite her up now to share a bit more about the project.
Good morning. So it's always great to come and to give you some good news from on the ground, as well as have the opportunity to thank everyone here at New Life, because you've always been such a great support to Hope for Cora. And on my most recent trip in February, we had just a very exciting time. Big highlight was celebrating the completion of the Abuni Basilios well. You did good, Janet. And That is a well. For some of you that might recall, over the last 2 years, Hope for Cora has been trucking in 100,000 liters of water per week to the school that's right on the edge of the garbage dump. And the reason we did that is because prior to that, for over 2 years, that school with 5,000 students had no running water. They couldn't wash their hands. They couldn't flush toilets. You can imagine how teachers didn't want to work there, and they were like the lowest ranked school practically in the city. And so we began trucking in water, but wanted a sustainable solution to this, because that was kind of hard to do long term. And now the school has actually grown to 7,000. And so we began a year ago starting this well project, and it was completed in December. So in February, quite a few people gathered together to kind of acknowledge all the different stakeholders that took part in this. There were school administrators, there were the teachers, the parent committee, hydrologists, water engineers, drilling company, several government offices came. The Ministry of Education was there, our Hope for Cora staff, as well as several board members here in Canada. And also one of our donors who did a lot of fundraising, and the well is commemorated to his two teenage sons who were tragically killed in a plane crash. So it was a really special time. We're going to actually show a short video in a moment of that. The well's pretty significant. It's 220 meters deep, which is the size of 2.5 football fields. So we had to go, it's close to the dump, we had to go way down. And it now is pumping 7 to 8 liters per second. So it's a real long-term solution, and we're just so grateful to God and how he inspired so many people to give. And in addition to that, we also put in a green space where the well is, and you'll get to see all that in a moment. But I also just would like to mention that I'm heading back to Ethiopia on May 31st with several people actually here from church as well. And one of the things we're going to be doing is giving about 300 of our kids new backpacks with hopefully a package of underwear for each of the kids. And so a lot of those backpacks we'll buy in Ethiopia, but we're really hoping to bring, you know, good quality underwear from here. So we're going to put a suitcase for the next 3 Sundays in the foyer if anyone would like to buy underwear. Boys and girls, all sizes. especially even teens and young and adults, because our college students, high school students are also needing underwear, so that would be great. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoy this video and just God's goodness of how he has provided. Thank you to people here who helped. And he's just providing a good way, bringing water and life today and into the future for these kids. So thank you.
Our work here, Hope for Poor's work with drilling as well, has come to completion, but their work continues. So we just want to thank you for leading by example.
ያደረጉልን እንግዲህ ሁለት ግለሰቦች አሉ ታቋቸዋላችሁ
Isn't that great? Just wonderful to see that. So we're going to be taking up an offering for our missions, mission partners, missionaries, and you can give in various ways. One would be to go to the boxes at the front and drop something in. You can give online. You can, I don't see this thing up on the screen. Oh, it's up there. Okay, there we go. You can give according to what it says behind me. So let's pray for the offering and thank God for the completion of this work with Eve and her team in Cora. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities we have as a church to reach out to different parts of the world, whether it be Turkey, South America, whether it be Ethiopia, or whether it be just locally here. We know that your love extends to all the different people that we support and that we can pray for. But we thank you especially today for the work that was done in Cora so that these children in the school and other people around them could have this water. We just probably take it so much for granted that we can just turn on a tap and we've got water. But we realize that these children did not have that privilege, and we thank you, Lord, for the work that was done by Hope for Cora and its supporters in providing this. And we pray that this source of water will be there for a long, long time, blessing these children. Lord, we thank you for this church for the opportunity we have to be here together. We pray that you will speak to us through the word that will be preached and just help us to extend your kingdom. We ask in your name. Amen. So now we have our fellowship time, and you can try to meet someone new or greet somebody you haven't seen for a while. You can bring your offering up, and you could probably get some coffee too. Not our good Honduran coffee. You have to wait afterwards to buy that, but it's worth the wait. Okay, enjoy your 3 minutes.
All right, let's return to our seats. Good to have fellowship with one another, for sure. All right, well, welcome once again to New Life. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Bruce, and I'll lead you through the rest of the service. And I just want to say just a couple things about my daughter this morning, Janessa, who is the worship director here, sitting right over here, and she's already going, oh no. And it was confirmed that she actually did fracture her toe. She got some x-rays this week. She did fracture her toe doing youth ministry here at New Life. And I just wanted to say, as a father, how proud I was of that. Because you're not really a full-fledged youth pastor until you've injured yourself in some major way. So I talked to Kuhn this week, and he was like, I said, did you ever injure yourself in youth ministry? He said, are you kidding me? I had concussions, mountain biking with students. I got a pool ball in my face. I slammed a finger in a door. He has scars. As for me, I used to, of course, as many of you know, used to be the youth pastor here years ago, and on cold winter nights, my shoulder still hurts from times in which I tried to be that cool youth pastor that raced down the mountain skiing at Whistler, Blackholm, and inevitably wiped out into a tree. So the fact that you have fractured your toe, it's beautiful. You have now entered into the echelon of youth pastors. You know, blood, sweat, tears, fractures. There you go. I also wanted to mention something else because Janessa kind of threw down the gauntlet last week a little bit. She was preaching, and she mentioned, you know, who was the better preacher, her or me, right? And I thought to myself as I heard that, I mean, I'm not competitive, right? Somehow I don't feel you're believing me on that front. But I thought to myself, who would lower themselves so significantly when it came to preaching? And there was even rumors that she was offering $10 per person to those who would get kind of on board with her as far as her being the better preacher. And was sad. But I do want to announce today a 50% discount on all pastoral services, including weddings and anything else. It's just a little form you have to sign here. It may have to do with preaching. Think of the money you could save, right? And she's a gifted preacher, no doubt, but I have more money. So. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for the opportunity to be in church and to laugh and to bless each other and to listen to each other, to worship you, to lift up your name. We're grateful. We're grateful for this opportunity. And would you bless us now? Would you speak to us through the power of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me start with just a little audience participation thing. We're in this series, Radio Spirituality. It's about music and how music can speak to us. God speaks through his word most authoritatively, but God can also speak through culture. God can also speak through music, as we've been talking about over the last number of weeks. So take a moment and just talk to the person beside you or the person around you, and one of two things I want you to discuss. Number one, which is the best concert you ever attended? And it's kind of a confession, too, if it happens to be a band that, you know, is a little bit racy, right? But then also, which concert, the artist, band, you most want to see, all right? So which is the artist and band sort of before, you know, on your bucket list that you most want to see? Okay, take a couple moments. Have at her. Okay. I know so many of you are saying, I'd like to see Michael W. Smith before I pass on to glory. But we all know that it's, you know, maybe it's Taylor Swift or, this is just an extra battery in case my battery fails. I had a chance over the last number of years to see some concerts, to cross off a couple things off my bucket list. I saw Bryan Adams in concert. This was in Rogers Place in Edmonton. I saw Coldplay there as well. Love that band. Also with Sharon. And then several years back, we saw U2 at the stadium in Edmonton as well. And that, of course, is the band that we're talking about this morning. They put on an incredible concert. In fact, I have to confess that this message isn't just about the song Yahweh. I mean, we're going to get to that. But it's about the band U2, this amazing band. Here's a few things that you should know about U2. First of all, amongst all of the popular bands out there, and of course there's many, 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 U2 is unique. They're uniquely popular. In a world where there's so many bands and whatnot, they sell out every concert that they book like months, even sometimes years in advance. I mean, every time they release a new album, it's a media event. Millions and millions of copies are sold worldwide. What's more, there are no flash in the pan. I remember the first time I heard about U2, and I'm dating myself here, but this was in the 1980s when I was in college, and I remember somebody coming up to me and saying, you know, you got to listen to this new Irish band, U2, and the song Sunday Bloody Sunday, which was kind of their breakout hit. And I remember watching them thinking, wow, this is very different. Now, currently, they're going to be the first band to play the Sphere in Las Vegas this fall. And if you don't know what that is a venue in Las Vegas. It seats 17,000 people, and it's a 360, kind of a planetarium effect where there'd be video all around you, 360. And you're sitting in the midst of that watching this band play. That's the kind of pull they have. They are unequivocally a super band. Second, U2 is also uniquely active and conscious driven. Unlike most singers and bands who make tabloid headlines for drunk driving or drug possession, you find Bono and other band members meeting with presidents and popes, prime ministers, and other heads of state, advocating for things like debt relief for poor countries, education through music, support for refugees. The list goes on and on and on. This band had a singular influence when it came to the AIDS crisis. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. It's a band that has chosen to leverage its influence, its significant influence, in a way that literally is changing the world. Third, U2 is uniquely spiritual. One writer said it this way: U2 has a strong sense of the sacred. And if you ever attended one of their concerts, it's kind of like a worship service in many ways. It's not uncommon for the lead singer, for Bono, to begin to pray between songs or to break into hallelujahs or a word about Jesus right in the midst of the concert. Last week, I watched, once again, most of U2's Live from Boston. It's fairly old, but I love that DVD. Well, it's not a DVD anymore. It's YouTube. But I just loved it. It sent chills up my spine. I mean, people at this concert, and what's so wonderful is they're singing this song 40, right? You know, and they're all singing it, and it's not just like they're singing it like they like it as a pop song, but they're engaged with it. Little do they know that 40, the song 40, is based on Psalm 40. So they're actually in the midst of a worship service, and what is amazing is most of them don't even know it. That's the power. That's the power of U2. Indeed, Bono has said that he believes God uses him to minister to people through the music of U2. So what motivates U2 to be so unique? Well, bottom line, it's their Christian commitment. These guys are committed Christ followers. Now, not that they would want to be labeled as a Christian band, because they don't want the baggage that goes along with that. But without any doubt, they're committed to living out their faith in a secular world through their music. You get a sense of this when you read Bono's book, Walk On, which is a little dated now, but I'd still recommend it to you, in which he chronicles the early years of the band. And this is what he wrote to his father. He wrote this: God gives us a strength and a joy that doesn't depend on drink or drugs. This strength, I believe, will take us to the top of the music business, which it has. I hope our lives will be a testament to people who follow us and to the music business, where never before has there been so many lost and sorrowful people gathered in one place pretending to have a good time. It is our ambition to make more than just good music. What a great quote that is. And who gives them this strength and this joy to be who they are? Well, it's God. It's their relationship with Him through Jesus that makes them who they are. Now, while they're Christians and they've gone on record as such, it needs to be said, U2 doesn't have a very high view of organized religion. So if you're looking for that, you need to take a second look. I mean, again, from Walk On, Bono's book, he writes, "Everywhere I look, I see evidence of the Creator, but I don't see it in religion, which has cut my people in two. I don't see Jesus being a part of religion. Religion to me is almost like when God leaves and people devise a set of rules to fill the space. I wonder if religion is what happens when the Spirit leaves the building." Wow, strong words. Strong words. Now, understand that Bono was talking in the context of the incredible division that was there in his home country of Ireland. And I visited Belfast last May, and there's still the scars in the city of bombings that took place there, this division between Catholics and Protestants, right? That's what he's writing out of. That's what he's responding to. And wherever the church is like that, wherever it becomes a political entity, wherever it becomes a means through which we power up on other people or hurt other people, that's when religion becomes mean. And I don't think any one of us wants to be involved in that kind of thing. Now, it doesn't mean that the church can't be an instrument and a powerful instrument through which we can come to understand who Jesus is. That's what Jesus intended the church to be. But when it's not that, there can be huge problems. So this is a band with a message, a Christian message, a biblical message, even, I would dare say, a prophetic message. When you listen to their music, I hear the Psalms. I hear the Psalms. I don't know about you. Now, let me tie in three different aspects of their message this morning, and this is not a comprehensive list. I mean, they've been writing for 5 decades. It's just a good place to start. So a couple of the messages that appear a lot in the music of U2, the first is this: how long? How long? If you've read the Bible, one of the big trajectories you'll find there is this deep, passionate longing for a better world. The biblical poets and songwriters looked out over the world in which there was just so much violence and injustice and poverty and all the other evils brought about by human sin and rebellion. And they began to write and sing about a time in which all these things that destroy life would themselves be destroyed and be done away forever. They dreamt about a time when love and faithfulness would meet each other and righteousness and peace would kiss and the glory of the whole of the Lord would fill the entire world. I mean, look at these words from the Old Testament prophet named Zechariah. This is what the Lord says: "I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty would be called the holy mountain." This is what the Lord Almighty says. "Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a cane in hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there." What a beautiful image, right? A city of safety, a city of peace. Maybe your heart longs for that too. For some of you old-timers out there, remember when we used to send our kids out to play and we would never worry about them, right? In fact, in my family, and maybe this is a reflection of my family, our parents would lock us out after church on Sunday for the entire afternoon and say, "Don't come back till dinner unless you're bleeding." And it seemed to always happen on Sunday afternoon for some reason. But in those days, we didn't worry, right? We didn't worry about our kids playing with our neighbors. We didn't worry about them being snatched away. They could just frolic and be safe, right? No child molesters, no gunfire, no drug pushers, no worries. And if we long for that, in this place, imagine how much more you long for it on the streets of Khartoum these days, or Bakhmut, or Chicago. And because of this longing, over and over again, the biblical writers and saints right down through the ages lift up their voices before God and ask, how long, until when do we have to wait for your full redemption, Lord? How long until we get to walk the streets of the eternal city? This is a theme that UT picks up on over and over again. Look at these words from one of their iconic songs, "Where the Streets Have No Name." I want to run. I want to hide. I want to tear down the walls that hold me inside. I want to reach out and touch the flame where the streets have no name. What streets are they talking about? Well, they're talking about the selfsame streets of Zechariah that he was talking about, the city of God, this place high on a desert plain where streets have no name. And when I go there, they sing, I want to go there with you. One of their most famous songs is Sunday, Bloody Sunday, which is a song about the horrible events of January 30th, 1972, in which 13 people were killed in Northern Ireland by British soldiers. And in the song, they sing this, how long? How long must we sing this song? And how does the song end? Listen to these words. The real battle yet begun to claim the victory Jesus won on Sunday, Bloody Sunday, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Again, this longing for the full expression of victory of Jesus that he won over sin and death on the cross. There are other songs by U2 that ask this same question, that touch this longing that we have in the human heart for something better, a better city, a better world. Songs like I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For and Miracle Drug and 40. And maybe this is one of the reasons that U2 has such a worldwide appeal, because if the truth be told, inside every human heart, isn't it true? There's this longing for this, for this place of safety, for some thing, for someone to fix this world, to fix me. Maybe as you search your heart this morning, you're saying, yeah, I know about that longing, Pastor Bruce, the longing for wholeness, an end to depression, an end to suffering for myself or my loved ones, an end to separation, an end to tears as they look out over the world, an end to poverty, an end to racism, an end to war. Another big theme in YouTube is this. Take this heart. Take this heart. And at this point, I want to sing, or I want you to listen to, I'm not going to sing, a little bit of the song Yahweh off of YouTube. Have a look.
Sink these shoes, quit clacking down some dead end street. Take these shoes and make them fit, yeah. Take this shirt, polyester white trash made in nowhere. Take this shirt and make it clean, clean. Take this soul, stranded in some skin and bones. Take this soul and make it say, say, Yahweh, Yahweh, always paint before a child.
one of the things that you need to know is that invoking the name of Yahweh brings us back to Exodus chapter 3, right? Where God calls Moses through a burning bush. And the context is that the cries of God's people have come up to him. And he's going to send Moses to change the world. Or to change their world anyway. They find themselves in bondage. They found themselves in slavery, right? God is going to send Moses. And you got to understand that the name Yahweh, as it's revealed, is always associated with the release of people from bondage. The release of people from oppression. The cries of God's people come up to him. And he reveals his name in order to address those issues. Now, Moses, of course, is a reluctant person in terms of responding to this call. But this is what inevitably begins to change the world. I mean, Moses is like, look, God, I got some sheep to take care of. And God's like, no, there's a world to change. There's a people to rescue. And where people across the centuries begin to take that seriously, powerful things can happen. It's a powerful human heart cry. Take my life, God, and use it. Make my life about something bigger than myself. Take these hands, take these feet, take these lips and transform them so that they are something beautiful for you. And one of the things that I love about you too is that they don't just sing this. It's not some platitude, but they live it out. One of Bono's best-known quotes is, wherever you see darkness, there's an extraordinary opportunity for the light to burn. I love that. I mean, over the years, they have challenged people around the world to wake up to the challenges. I don't know if you remember this, but they spearheaded the response to AIDS. I still remember Bono appearing before the United Nations and saying this, God will judge America and the rest of rich Western powers if they know what's happening in Africa. The people that are dying there, if they pass this crisis on the other side of the road and do nothing. What road is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the parable of Jesus, the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the religious and those that are so upright pass by the very person that they should be helping. And it wasn't just the United Nations. I still remember the work that Bono did in challenging the church. Because the church, I'm just going to switch this. Chef.
Vanessa, you want to help me? Okay. Sorry. And I remember challenging the church. Right? Because, of course, AIDS had this stigma to it, right? It had this stigma where you know, the church didn't want to get involved in that kind of mess, right? But then there were thousands and thousands of people dying of AIDS in Africa that had nothing to do with the origins of AIDS. And Bono and you too were at the forefront of challenging the church to respond, and it did. It did. Thank God. But there's something deeper going on here, because I don't know if you caught it, but in this song that we just saw, there's this curious line that Bono has, or that U2 has, and it's this, always pain before the child is born, right? Take these shoes, clacking down some dead-end street. Take these shoes and make them fit. Take this soul and make it sing. But then always pain before the child is born. And we need to think about that for a little bit this morning, because what is being said here is that transformation never comes without pain. If you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, I want transformation in my life. I want to evoke the name of Yahweh because I want transformation in my personal life. I need transformation in my personal life. If that's you this morning, then understand that if you really want that, if you evoke the name, then that that thing that you want, the transformation that you want, will never come without some pain. Ephesians 1 talks about us being God's masterpieces, right? And we're like, oh, that's so wonderful. God's poema is the word that's used in the Greek. God's masterpiece. Oh, I want to be God's masterpiece. Have you ever watched a sculptor at work? You ever watch a potter work with a piece of clay that he's trying to form into something beautiful? They're aggressive. They're willing to push and pull and cut away the things that need to be cut away. It's almost to the point you look at it and you think, oh, poor piece of clay. Right? But that's the metaphor that Ephesians 1 is talking about. You want transformation? You want to be a masterpiece of God? And not just as a kind of a platitude? Be prepared for the things that God wants to cut out of your life. Be prepared for the challenges that he wants to place before you. And I guarantee you, they won't be easy. And if that's true on a personal level, that's also true on a macro level as well. You know, we got to listen to this beautiful story about Hope for Cora this morning, right? And we get to see a well getting dug and children for the first time, maybe some of them experiencing access to clean water on a regular basis. But if you talk to the polls today and you ask them, so was that just an easy thing to do? How did that go, that transformation that took place? They would tell you there were days when we didn't know what we were going to do. There were obstacles that we thought, we're never getting through this. There were times that we ran out of money. But they pushed forward because nothing worth doing in the kingdom of God ever comes without pain. There's always pain when a baby is born, right? Always pain before a child is born. And this is what this song is saying. If you're saying, take my heart, and I hope you're saying that this morning, then recognize the challenge that will be in your own life to say, take these hands that want to close in a fist sometimes because I'm angry or because I want to hang on to the things that I want to hang on to, but make them open. Take these lips so quick to criticize. And in Bono's words, give them a kiss, a holy kiss, so that they will speak truth and love and grace to other people. God is a master craftsman, friends. And he knows what he's doing. And if you let him, he will make you a masterpiece, but not without the challenge that requires. Remember that old song? I remember singing it in church, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Oh, take this heart, God, this sin-sick heart, and transform it for you. Final big theme, love rescued me. Love rescued me. This is one of my favorite U2 songs, and let's just play just a snippet of it. Have a look. Incredible B.B. King. One of the greatest things about U2 is that they understand what's at the core of the Christian faith. And it's not a set of rules. It's not a good idea. It's that at the center of the universe, there is a God who loved us. And though we thumbed our nose at him, though we gave ourselves to every form of disobedience and unleashed in this earth every kind of horror, he loves us still. A God who is rich in mercy treats us not as we deserve, but in Jesus comes to us in love. Instead of death, we get life. Instead of the grave, we get a resurrection party. And when that love comes to you, when you get it, when it sinks down deep inside you and you realize that you don't deserve it, he loves you still. And you say, how can it be? Amazing. Amazing grace for me. And it changes everything. See, I mean, we all have to go through it, right? And in this song, U2 writes, I was a sailor, I was lost at sea. I was under the waves before love rescued me. And then more graphic, so we really get it. I used to make love under a red sunset. I was making promises I soon to forget. She was pale as the lace of her wedding gown, but I left her standing before love came to town. But we're like that. We're prone to selfishness. Anybody here try to sail their own ship and ended up in disaster? Living for myself, willing to abuse others for your own pleasure or advancement. I know about that. But then love came to town. Not because I deserved it, I didn't. In fact, I deserved exactly the opposite. But love came to town and showed me a better way. So now, I don't know about you, but I'm jumping on that train. I don't know about you, but I'm catching that flame. I don't know about you, but my life is changed because love came to town. And you too gets that. And that's why every once in a while, in the midst of their music, in the midst of their concerts, they break into a hallelujah or a gloria. Not because they have it all figured out, they don't. But because the greatest issue in their life has been settled. There is a God. There is his son, Jesus. And the story of this broken world is that love came to town. Thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this reminder through you too of the message of the gospel, the transforming message of the gospel. Challenge us, each one of us this morning, to embrace it. And then not only to embrace it, but let it propel us into ministry, like giving to the food bank this morning, like supporting Hope for Cora, like doing so many other things, being part of this worldwide revolution that you've started to change this world. Thank you that love came to town, and help us to get on board. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and let's sing this song as a kind of a commitment this morning. You know, it was amazing. I got in to the service this morning, and as I was driving over here, I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to throw Janessa a curveball because I hadn't seen the final set and how it turned out. I said, you know what? I'm going to ask her to sing Take My Life and Let It Be. And I got here this morning, and I said, hey, what song are you, like, finishing the message with? She said, well, if it's okay, I thought I would sing Take My Life and Let It Be. And I thought, God, you're good. God, you're good. And so let's sing this song as a prayer of commitment this morning. Let's do that.
Take my life and let it. Thank you.
Extend your hands this way this morning. Father, thank you that you love us. And we extend our hands this way of saying, take our hearts, take our lives, take our hands, take our lips, and use them in your service. We love you, God. We want to follow you with all our hearts. Let's sing that chorus one last time.